And in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24 this morning, we're going to see the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. And just want to remind you of some things. There's a lot of misconceptions that people have about what truth is, what's right and what's wrong, and what's accurate and what's not. And the way to find out is to look into the Bible. Amen? There's two or three things established here in this parable. For example, there are some people that say that we are all children of God. That's not what this parable teaches us. There's some people that say that someday everybody is going to be saved, and then it denies that some people will be cast into hell. This parable teaches that there are folks that will be cast into hell. Now, I want to remind you of something before we begin, and that is, when you and I were born, the Bible says very clearly we were sinners by birth and by choice. So what that means is we had a sin nature. When we were born, we had a sin nature, and then we chose to sin at some point in time in our life. After you and I make that choice, and every one of us made that choice to sin, then we are what the Bible calls lost. In other words, we are outside of Christ. We are in need of forgiveness, is the best way to say it. And then the Bible says that in every person's life, that God convicts us, and the word is that he brings attention to our need of salvation so that we can make that choice. And then some people choose to receive Christ and some choose to reject him. When you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking him to forgive you for your sins, then the Bible uses a term for us that we call believers or Christians, because we have believed in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Amen? If you have not believed in Christ, then you are not yet forgiven. And those are the two categories of people. But the description here in Matthew chapter 13, it uses the term wheat and the term tares. And if you don't know that word tare, it's another word for weeds. It's something that grows in the crops. If you drive down the road and you see a crop out in the field, well, sometimes you'll notice that in the midst of that crop, there's also some weeds springing up. You can see this more clearly in a wheat field, what we're going to see here today. But anyway, there are the good plants, and then there are the bad plants. There are the plants that produce a good product and the plants that produce a bad product. And they look a whole lot alike up until the product is seen, and then you can tell them apart. If you had bread this morning for breakfast, you probably had a bread made out of wheat. It was not made out of weeds. Weeds are poisonous. Weeds don't taste good. Weeds are something that you want to get rid of. And the Bible uses that illustration, that parable, describing those that have trusted Christ as wheat, and those that have refused Christ are called tares. I'll say some more about that, but let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read down to verse 43, but I'm going to skip over a few verses, and I'll show you what to do when we get there. Matthew chapter 13. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now skip down to verse 36, please. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into this place and we have a warm, comfortable place to spend time looking into the Word of God. Lord, it's not just the physical comfort that's important, but it's the meeting with us by the Holy Spirit with the pure Word of God as the tool that the Spirit can use to speak to us. And Lord, I plainly will admit, I don't know what you want to say to these people today, but you do. And I want to be a tool in your hands as well that would be able to be used to show them some things from this passage that would speak to their hearts and comfort and encourage and edify them. Lord, we know that harvest day is coming when the end of the world will take place and the tares and the wheat will be separated. The tares, those people that are children of the devil, will be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever. The wheat, the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be gathered together with him in heaven for all eternity. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would understand some practical applications of those simple facts and of what you've said to us here in this wonderful passage. I pray you'd be with folks that are not with us today. Lord, there are those that are ill, and we pray you would comfort them. We think of Dan Ball and Patty and Dan with his cancer. Please comfort him today. If for Brenda White, pray you'd comfort her today as well. And I do pray that you'd be with others that are absent today, some traveling, some in other occupations of sorts. We just pray that you'd comfort them, work in their lives, bring them back to us safely. And we do pray that you'd give us a great year this year. The greatest way for this year to be great would be if Jesus Christ was to come back very soon. But use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
I don't always understand everything in the Bible, but I understand a lot of it. And I've quoted him before. Mark Twain had a saying. Mark Twain said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that worry me. It's the parts that I do understand. And there are lots of the parts of the Bible that are very understandable. The Bible says, for example, that you have a choice of accepting or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ would be what we see in this passage as being one of those tares, is what he calls them here, one of those types of plant. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes you into wheat. And it's kind of alluded to in verse 24. If you look at it, he says that a man sowed good seed in his field. Now, we saw the parable of the sower, and we know that the seed is the Word of God. So you and I, each of us, praise the Lord, we were born in a country or we live in a country where we could have a copy of the Bible that we could read and understand in our language. Praise the Lord that we had people that could preach to us at churches and people going out visiting and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, the church's job is to spread the Word of God. That's why we're here. What will happen in 2020, Pastor? Whatever God does with His Word. If you sow sparingly, if you don't give the Word of God out very much in 2020, your potential for crops is less. If you sow the word bountifully, the Bible says if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Amen? And so we want, as a church this year, to sow bountifully. We won't re-preach the parable of the sower, but you understand some of that seed falls on good ground, but then some falls in other places and does not produce fruit. Fruit is a key in this parable that we're looking at today. And I just want to remind you of something, and I say this a lot, please take me seriously. Be very careful what you read or who you listen to when they try to teach you the Bible. There's a lot of misinformation out there. This is a very, very famous, a very popular parable. And if you begin to read about this parable, you'll find all sorts of misinformation. For example, I want you to know, and the Bible explains it, but the field that he talks about here in verse 24 is described in verse 38 as the world. The field is not the church. In other words, this parable is not a parable about a church or even churches in general. Now, it is true there might be some tares, if you will, some unsaved people in churches, but a church biblically is an assembly of saved people that are baptized and born again and organized and carrying out the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature. This parable is not about church. I came across one document this week, and it was all about how this applies to the church. It does not apply to the church. The seed is sown in the world, and it's a parable about the world. As you look at the parable and you see what it has to say, the word tares is used many times. In verse 25, for example, it says that while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, there is a kind of seed that produces a Christian. And then there is a kind of seed that produces something else. I want you to understand, you need to be very careful that your salvation is based upon the Word of God and not based on something else. How do you know you're saved, Pastor? Because the Bible says so. Where does it say that, Pastor? Well, I can go to Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or I can go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith. Or I can go to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Or I can go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, which says, to them that believeth, that we're saved, and I paraphrase that, but the point is, over and over in the Bible, it tells us how to become a child of God. Amen. Romans, or John chapter 1 and verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. So salvation Bible salvation is believing the gospel that is found in the Bible. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. It's good to be saved. We rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes our circumstances might not cause rejoicing. Our year, last year, you may have had a difficult year, and you may say, Pastor, 1919 was not a year that would cause me to rejoice. The year might not be, but the Lord is. I do not know what 2020 holds. I know this. The Bible says evildoers will become worse and worse. I know that there's going to be deception. I know that there's going to be a lot of people fighting. I know that it's going to be a year where the wheat and the tares are going to rub up against each other. It's not going to be comfortable all the time. But one of these days, folks, it's just going to be the wheat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, we rejoice in our salvation. If you do not know you're saved, two or three things you're missing out on. First of all, I can't imagine how you could live not knowing if you're going to go to heaven or go to hell. Wouldn't that be a horrible question to have to ask? Amen. We take it for granted. We've been saved for years and years, and we're used to just laying our head down at night and thinking, the Bible promises to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We've had two dear saints in the last couple of years from our church membership that have stepped into eternity, and they're with Jesus right now. I know that. We believe Dan Ball is going to step into eternity sometime this year, perhaps. And again, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because you're saved, would not dream of living a life thinking I might die and go to hell. That'd be horrible. But the Bible says we can know we have eternal life, 1 John 5:13. If you're not saved, then you don't have the assurance of salvation, and you also don't have the God of the Bible to pray to and to live for. Well, what's your life all about if you're not saved? It's about yourself. Now, there are some Christians that live lives about themselves and don't live for the Lord. I grieve over that, but I've decided to live for the Lord. So what does that mean, Pastor? That doesn't mean I'm sinless. It means I'm saved, and it means I serve. Amen? And I hope you've decided that as well. A couple of thoughts here. The tares. Somebody says, well, what is a tare? If you've ever seen wheat, a tare is a plant that looks an awful lot like wheat. It's neither here nor there, but it's a rye grass, actually. The difference in the tares and the wheat comes when you see the product. The wheat has a light brown grain, which is edible, and we like to eat it. Amen? We make bread out of it. We make all sorts of things out of wheat. And it's got a product that is quite useful, quite tasty, nutritious, and so forth. The tares, the ryegrass, produce a black, poisonous product that is not useful for food. In fact, if it gets mixed in with the wheat, it causes the wheat to taste very, very poorly. So it's very important to separate the two. It looks very resemblant to wheat. It appears different, or the same, I'm sorry. It appears the same until the fruit finally is shown. In fact, these two plants are so similar that in some parts of the world, this darnel, which is what the ryegrass is called false wheat because it looks just like wheat at first. When the ear or the fruit appears, that's when you can tell the difference, the color and the taste and the result of the product. So in the end, it may be that someone looks an awful lot like a Christian, but what are they producing? Amen? And he'll explain that, and I'll show you in just a minute. The wheat and the tares, children of the kingdom, children of the wicked one. Particularly, he names it plainly in verse 39, children of the devil. They both live in the same field. They both live life in the same place. They both have the same opportunities, but they have very different termination, very different resting places. In verse 43, I like that verse, it says, then shall the righteous, who are the righteous? The wheat. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And what he's saying there is that there's a day when we're going to be gathered together with him and be with him for all eternity. Amen. And you say, Pastor, life is hard. Folks, eternity is going to make up for it. Amen? Amen? Say, Pastor, I've had to suffer. You're going to be rewarded. Pastor, I've had to endure. You're going to be glad you did. We will be gathered together with him one day. But in verse 42, the tares, in verse 41, actually, the angels will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he's talking about hell. That phrase at the end of verse 41, those that offend and those which do iniquity, is the contrast to verse 43, which is the righteous. Folks, if you are saved, you are different. Amen? I did not say you're perfect, but you are different, and in God's eyes, you are righteous. God cannot see your sin because your sin is covered in the blood of Christ. But God also sees what you do, and in this life, if you are saved, you will be different. Now, I understand saved people can do some wicked things. And it confuses me as well. You ask yourself, how can someone be saved, perhaps even be an outspoken Christian, and then do a wicked deed? Folks, we still have flesh, but we also have a Savior who works in us and changes us. Why would someone come to church? They want to hear more about their Savior, and the Savior is the one that brings them here. He works in our life. The tares are burned in the fire. They are those that offend and do iniquity. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, which is a description of horrible suffering. God's children live in a world right alongside the devil's children. And that's not a comfortable situation, is it? I'd thought in this parable, what is it that he is saying? We're living alongside the tares. They're right next to you. They may look a little bit like a Christian or a lot like a Christian. But what is the difference? What is that problem with the tares and the wheat being together? And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. It's the same as the effect of the weeds that are growing amongst the crop. First of all, the source. Folks, if you are saved, it is because of the seed of the Word of God. It is because God gave us His Word. If you are a child of the devil, you're here placed by an enemy, and that enemy intends to use you to cause great trouble. There may not be anyone here. I hope there's no one here in this room today in that category. But you know what I'm talking about. The tare is the opponent, is the oppressor, is the one that resists what the wheat would be. The tare, for example, if you have a tare in a wheat field, they steal water. They take nutrients. They hide the crops. They hide the sunlight from the crops. They compete for space. They crowd out the good plants. The tares often harbor pests and diseases that the plants can't tolerate. And the tares even emit harmful secretions, which lower the germination rates of the good plant. There's a reason that we need to stay separate from the world. There's a reason we need to stay. The Bible says, come apart and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If you as a Christian are trying to coexist with the tares, I want you to know it cannot be done. The tare is a different plant. It has a different effect upon you. It's going to keep you from being a productive Christian. If you want to be a productive Christian, you need to get away from the tares. And a good place to do that is in a local church. Amen? Amen. A church that teaches the Bible. A church that is that surrounds you with other wheat, if you will, other good plants. Things that will not cause you not to be productive. There's a difference between us and the tares. We have, as I've mentioned already, a different product. The product of the wheat is a fruit that is edible. The product of the tare is poison. We have a different purpose. God has sown us to bring glory to Him. Your purpose is to bring glory and pleasure to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Revelation says so plainly. God may find different ways for you to do that. We know that bearing fruit, which means reproducing, which means seeing souls saved, brings glory to God. That's one way to glorify Him. But you can glorify Him by suffering for Him. You can glorify Him by enduring for Him. You can glorify Him by trusting Him. Amen? Amen. We say, Pastor, what am I going to do? I don't know. Trust God. Let God do what God wants to do. What kind of year are we going to have this year? As Brother Mendez mentioned from the back of the bulletin. If you're a servant of God, it's going to be a great year. Amen. Because, folks, God always does that which is right. Even His choice to allow us to live amongst the tares was a right choice, which was meant for our good. And in the end, you'll be rewarded for it. What kind of year are we going to have this year, Pastor? We're going to have the year God gives us. What's going to happen this year, Pastor? God's going to do some work. And if you're part of His work, you will enjoy the result. If you decide to live the year for yourself, I don't know what kind of year you're going to have, but it won't be as good as mine because I'm going to live for the Lord. If you're going to live a year for yourself, you might succeed in your endeavors. But if you didn't glorify Christ, does that really matter? Folks, glorifying Christ means everything. Amen? Amen. And that's the kind of year we're going to have if we serve Him. Now, the purpose of the tare is to serve the enemy. The purpose of the tare is to be destructive in the crop. The purpose of the tare is to get in the way, to take away from what the wheat could be, and the devil is the one that brought that to be. The prospect is different as well. The wheat will be gathered to God. The tare will be cast into the fire. How can you tell the difference between the two? You know, they look a lot alike. Up until that fruit is produced and you can look at the fruit, you really can't tell much difference between the two. But the good, the wheat, sprout from God's word. The bad, the tare, come from the wicked one. A lot of people believe a lot of things today. Aren't you glad you have the truth? Amen. How do I know I have the truth, Pastor? Because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. He gave us his word. Studying in Sunday school, what does it mean to be saved? Even a simple topic like salvation. If I ask you, how do you know you're saved? You know, you could say, well, I think this and I think that. A lot of people think a lot of things. How do you know anything? You know something because the Bible says it. I was trying to witness to a fellow one time, and he said to me, he said, I don't want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what you think. And I said, I think the Bible's right. I think if the Bible says it, it's worth repeating. And otherwise, I don't know. He thought heaven was someplace where you go and play basketball or whatever, do what you want to do just to be happy. When you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to want to play basketball. When you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, your perspective is going to be completely different. No, the good fruit, the good plant sprouts from God's word. Can you find an origin in your salvation with roots that are from where the word of God? The word of God took root in you, and that's the product. Someone says, I had an ecstatic experience. I don't know about ecstatic experiences. We can get really excited about a lot of things. You go to a football game, you might get really excited. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you, ecstasy is not the proof. The Bible's the proof. Can you show, could you show God? God, you said right here, and that's what I did, so I know I'm saved. That's the right kind of plant. That's the kind of plant you want to be. Lost people have a lot of opinions, but they do not center in the Word of God. The day of difference is about to come. What I mean by that statement is this. Look at, if you will, back into the passage in verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. When you see that phrase, Son of Man, which is mentioned a couple of times in this passage, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, shall send forth his angels. Maybe they're already on the way. Wouldn't that be great? Not sure how long it takes an angel to get from heaven to here, but not very long. Maybe they'll come today. Amen? If you are wheat, you're waiting for that day. If you're a tare, it's not something you look forward to. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wheat and the tares grow right alongside one another. Completely oblivious to the fact that the harvest is about to take place. The harvest could be today. Now again, I know just about everybody here, and to the best of my understanding, I think we all know Christ as our Savior, but if you don't, you know what you're doing? You're hoping the harvest is not right now. You're hoping the harvest is a little bit longer. The Bible makes it very clear that you can be saved. That you can, the Bible says, that with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can receive Jesus Christ today. If you haven't yet done that, you better hope the harvest isn't today. You better hope you do it before the harvest comes. And if you've already done it, aren't you glad you're ready? I love being ready for things. I like to have it all laid out and planned out and sitting there ready to go. I don't like to think maybe I'm not ready yet. I think you can say with me, I'm ready for the harvest. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I'm ready for him to judge me. I know I've received Christ as my Savior. I've been serving him with my life. He's first place in my life. He's the one that I serve each day. And I can't wait for him to come back and take and gather me home to be with him. Just the opposite of what the tares would say. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun, he says in verse 43, in the kingdom of their Father. In this world, the kingdom is very confused. There are the wheat and the tares, and all sorts of ideas, all sorts of agendas being promoted. In the kingdom to come, there's one agenda. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rule. Amen? Sometimes I look at people that have somewhere along the way, they've just stepped away from God, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. I'm not thinking so much just about folks that have rejected him, because that's obviously a problem there, but folks that have received Christ as their Savior, but they're living a life kind of like the tares. They're affected by the tares. They're following the tares, if you will. They're being like the tares. And when the harvest comes, every one of us had our chance, didn't we? Every one of us had the opportunity. I understand you had some obstacles, and there were some things that might have pushed you back or set you back or confused you a little bit. But every one of us had some opportunities. First of all, we had an opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. Amen? Amen. And then we had an opportunity to decide how to serve Him. And it's your choice. When Jesus comes back, the question is not going to be, why didn't you serve? There's no answer to that question. The question will not be asked. The question is not necessary. It's quite simply this: either you did or you didn't serve. Are you bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? You can. Amen? There's nothing keeping you from it except you and your decisions. Now, we tend to lament and be remorseful over days past, and we say, well, you know, in my past in my life, I didn't do thus and so. I love another parable. It's the parable of some people that are hired to work in a vineyard. And the fellow that finally went to work an hour before closing time got the very same wages as a fellow that worked all day long. The question is not, how did you start your day? The question is, how did you finish it? Hey, that's a good opportunity we have. 2020, first Sunday of the year. This could be the year you go to work for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Or if you've been serving the Lord, keep on serving. This could be the last year there is. I think you would agree with me if you read your Bible. It wouldn't surprise me if Christ came back this year. Amen? Amen. Now, He might not, but if He does, how's He going to find you? Pastor, I was just too busy to serve God. I don't think that's a good answer. I really believe with all my heart that when Jesus comes back, our excuses are going to melt away and we're going to realize we could have done more. If you're serving Him, praise the Lord. If you're not, let's get busy. Amen? Amen. He could come back anytime. Let's stand and pray if you would, please.